van a los padres cuando son padres.
I don't want to expand the chair and go back and put the constitutional clause on why it's important for the executive to hold the cabinet to account to parliament. You know, I was just wishing the acting team the best because they are the nice to see in the future. And so on regarding the apology, I move that we not hold the apology. I may just say to the acting team that in terms of strict application of PFNA, I'm on record as having said that MA and NCOB sometimes we do not really go in so far as some of us have experienced. That usually a correspondence is circulated to the chair to the effect of your acting appointment, just as a norm to safeguard parliament that is held to account for correct acting account officer. That's the norm elsewhere, and I think it's very, very correct. But here in Parliament, this was say to the in the same manner that you were talking to Salta, I'm just checking if they were able to secure any political principal in the coming or still on the way, the minister, maybe deputy minister, or it has not been possible to rise with them. And the upfront share to indicate that I raise it because some of the tricky questions about policy imperatives that might lie in their competencies get the same situation in Kaika, the local government station, but unfortunately they couldn't get the portal thing. But I'm just checking again for the content.
Honorable Mudichi, I just want to extend an apology for the acting national commissioner. We are very minor engagement. And then for the deputy national commissioner, who is inform that the committee is in actual fact interested in terms of ESPA grant that emanates from the legal eviction from occupiers from land and property. So I'm of the opinion, Chair, with your permission, that the statistical information on landing region and this, unless the Chair, the Minister, any of the members wants me to specifically deal with the landing region issues, that the committee members is in possession of our statistics. I can just say that we only managed to secure two convictions, one in Gauteng and one in KwaZulu-Natal, relating to land invasion cases last year. The challenge that we have in these spaces is the cases are mostly withdrawn upon first appearance of the arrested suspects, and the police is required then to obtain statements from the legal landowners to prove that the land belongs to them or not. Now the challenge that we experience is that as soon as the occupiers are removed from the property, the landowners in most cases, it's the municipalities, are no longer interested to pursue the matters in court. So therefore our success rate on land invasion cases is phenomenal. We have statistics available. Last night we drew statistics from our systems relating to land evictions from land. Unfortunately, as I indicated to the chairperson, it has not been passed by our principals for their approval to present formally to the committee. We can, however, speak to figures, and we can then give a commitment to the House that in the committee that we will then at the date determined by the chairperson and the committee, from the sepsis side, provide an official document relating to cases reported under ESPA and the status of those investigations and so on. In your hands, Chairperson.
I'm confused. What was the risk? the hotspot for us, but still in case that they don't have information, and I think you might understand enough people that we prefer that information as well.
Out there that Parliament is degenerating. Like you tie up people, placards, and talk to in front of me. Just keep your meetings anywhere in the airport, in the bus rank, anywhere, maybe in 500 or something. They all just laugh and say, oh. So I've got to maintain and say, after the placards that media focus group on, there's still a number of international protocols, national protocols, and a number of budget votes that will pass and so on. But to the ordinary person, they just don't understand what I say. Put differently, ladies and gentlemen, probably career policemen, all of you, into court. You know exactly how you prepare when you want to appear before the court, you cross-examine and so on. And in support of a particular case, be it rape, murder, or anything. Put differently, in my view, Parliament, in terms of the model of the separation of powers, feet, no less nor above the cost of fuel. But in not a provincial parliament, the programming is referred to as equivalent to a regional cost. But a national parliament is not a parliament above us. So I wouldn't, it would be clumsy of me to try and say equal to constitutional cost. Because I'm coming to you, I see none of my colleagues is attempting to to say you have really disappointed us. You are not prepared. If you prepared, you prepared for another case. You go for a rape case, you talk about the case about murder and robbery. So you're talking about something else. I am short of being firm in much more, you know, because I've not seen the correspondence that came to you. But my understanding is that we invited you to talk on S. Now, these are farm-related things. It has nothing to do with land invasion. I know people outside land, they club everything under land. But you see, I'm outside policing. I've never been. But I don't club murder and robbery under rape, under, you know, a number of other, under theft, under stop theft, car hijacking, and all. So you should also attempt, you're very senior at your level. You should also attempt to speak to the requisite code. I think, ladies and gentlemen, you have really let us down. And I'm being very, very soft. You really let us down. We're conducting public hearings and stakeholder engagements on extension of security amendment act. We want your experiences, both supported by statistical evidence, the data you are giving, you write, but also analytical, qualitative. From that statistic, what can you say to us? One colleague is talking about three states. I also agree with colleagues. My personal impression is that Mpumalanga is the most spike torn in terms of this. So you could have been brought some general from Joint Commissioner from Mpumalanga then to talk on that if you were on the same page like us. Mpumalanga is the most spike torn. Now I'm ordinary person, of course, so I mean empirical evidence might prove me wrong. So I am just adding a voice here to say the gentleman in blue has let us down. But also check and move it a step further because I want to suggest what could then happen. Though I can't see them remaining beyond this point anyway. But move a step further and say Parliament is not only the portfolio committee on peace and stability or safety and security, whatever it's called. Parliament is entirety of its organs. You might be invited by any of the organs of Parliament. It carries the same weight. And so, Chair, under apartheid, please was used for the bedrock to defend a wrong system. In a people's democracy, in a constitutional democracy, it should be the other way around. Once the police come around, then there's all the hope, supposedly, among the people. So I am just saying we desperately, there could be a better word, crave your inputs so that we examine its transformative character, we examine how differently you want to look at the relations on the farm. What is the premise? What is your departure point? Let me make an example, Chair, without discussing the issues. There is a sheriff. There are the people being evicted. Already, you have by law, so it's not personal. It's not subjective. You already have a preconceived stance that you protect the sheriff. What if the sheriff is victimizing a woman and a child, or even a man for that matter? You know, for argument's sake, in the South African context, there's this white sheriff comes bullying people, throwing them around. Already you put it in black and white, correctly so, because you reflect what the law provides. You then say, the police shall, in other words, the police assume the sheriff's role. I think that needs to be the people's plea that they could be on the side of justice in the accountability. So we want to hear you, because people have been evicted midnight. We've heard that. We've heard that. It's not an impression. We have, in our records, we have. People have been evicted midnight in inclement weather. You know, the evictions have been without a probation officer's report. All about farm evictions and injustice there. We would like to hear, please, probably even your legal advice section, if you have that. I don't know your organization or judge. So, Chair, having said that, it's merely a lament. I'm being soft deliberately, not because I want the police to be soft when we have nothing that will ever go before the police, maybe except the council. But I'm being soft because I didn't see the letter that came to you, and I'm not required to see it. But you let us down, gentlemen, we were disappointed. You flew probably from Pretoria with taxpayers' money, which had been better prepared. In court, the magistrates and the judges tell you when you make harm. In Parliament, you must also be told. All parties are at one to say, this is not what we asked of you. Please do better. I propose, Chair, that we release them. They are of no assistance. And Honourable Chabeleng suggests that we follow a 7.2 law. I would be cautious and say, we'll follow the same route if we have time, like Honourable Chabeleng said. If we have time, we'll then have to squeeze you in and recall you and ask that, where possible, bring police gun principals. Statistic is not the only thing we're interested in. We are formulating a law, an amendment to the law. So what is your experience? What would you like to see going into that, you know? So please do some projection, do some brainstorming, do some thinking, analyze that statistic that you have, and propose to your political principals, if they cannot be found, because there are only two, if I'm right, Mamoso, you know, minister. So, but they must also have seen it and have made some, and with every due respect, Chair, even ask our honorable minister just to have a word with the two respective political heads and HSAPF, so that the matter may be taken seriously. We may pass this amendment, but without the police being part of shaping it, we just play. I propose, Chair, that we release them. They may take what is called early shower. If you get that early shower from the police, they may get the early, in the council, it will be an early flight. They can then pull their flight earlier. Thank you.
I thought it was my turn to contribute. Thank you. President Chair, well, I don't have to reiterate the statements that have already been made by my colleagues. For me, it's just to indicate something that I've picked up on slide 27, which perhaps, colleagues, is the real reason why we've got this disappointment. If you could just give me a minute to point out what is contained there. Right at the bottom, the bill does not impact on the duties of staffs. That's why they've come like this. So, and this is a page what was stated in page 13. Last bullet point, where they correctly point out cases of law breaking, unlawful shutting off of utilities, you know, from best people who are renting. And yet, but they conclude by saying that they come in nowhere to protect the rights of the people. So the rest, they picked up from my colleagues have already spoken. They need to go and read and check what the money of staff is. That's basically what it is. Check what your money is and then contextualize it to where we are. You may do yourself a favor by checking which policemen were with us during the hearing. I'm sure you wouldn't have it. Then they'll give you an idea of what is actually happening. That could be a shorter way of getting to know how the people feel let down. I don't have to go beyond that. Yeah. That's all. That's a constructive advice I can give you. But the statement that you're making that is like 27 is a killer statement. It's a big disappointment to us as well. Thank you.
Chairperson, but in this, I think it's like 27, the disclaimer. The bill does not even have done the duties of the SAP. That's why the political leaders are not here to do the same thing that they can do. Because if they knew that they could add value to this process and actually make the law so tight that no one will become a victim of unnecessary crime. Because this time actually the police were committing crime against the people. If I'm a phone and then the blue lights are on, tear gas flies without even asking what has happened. And these are the issues that we're getting all the time. Non-response to cases of theft, confiscation of it. I don't even want to repeat myself. But don't let me be seven things because we are, it's a disclaimer that we are not involved. We don't understand why you should be involved in this. So, we are fighting a losing battle.
As a legal committee would advise the suspect that cannot have such a disclaimer. They are responsible for enforcement of all laws. And the issue that Honorable Tuck is saying is that you are an absolute bias in the enforcement of this law. Because you are more siding with a farmer and not the victim in that sense. Because the brother of Honorable Johnson, the former president of SASCO and the ANC, would certainly know as a chief investigator in this country that any case that two sides, or more than two sides, we can't just accept what a complainant is saying to you. You must investigate that. So how would you know there's an illegal investigation, an illegal conviction, if you have not made the investigation? You know, the point I'm saying is that if the premise is based on we have nothing to do with this law, then surely it is wrong. It cannot be such a disclaimer. But I think the key thing here, actually, is that you have indicated that you have steps which you have not cleared what your principles. And the question right from the beginning, and I think that is where the perhaps you will be coming to that. The first question that is asked is, what was your brief? Because that question implies that if you know you're going to deal with steps relating to ESPA, why have you not submitted your principles for their endorsement in order to come here and present those steps? Because what you are effectively saying, you are reluctant to reveal those steps. Yes, you can speak about the number, but you can go deep in analyzing it because it hasn't been clear with your principles. And that is actually causing all of your debates. Literally saying, you're coming here or then wasteful and fruitless expenditure, you know, because you're unable to address the crux of the matter of why Yes, Chair. And I think, Chair, perhaps you must just respond and say whether you will be here next week this time or suggest another date when the chairperson in the committee, a secretary, will ask to continue with this question. But enough time for you to submit those steps to your principals and give them to go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the question looking at the report here that does say that it was not part of the committee process, that is why the process going to be done, Chair. If it doesn't have any impact on the report. My proposal, members, would be that let's agree with the report to take it later to another level. Let this meeting not hold us back from regards to the bill. Because we wanted just to hear the view of SAC on the ESTA amendment to this bill. That is clear. SAC is saying they're not contracted, so the bill doesn't have any impact on us. We're just law enforcement. That's it. Honourable Robertson.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Stand firmly with our colleagues on this side of the table. It's absolute farce. I really don't know why he even came down. I mean, upon invitation, why is it that your seniors didn't write back to the department and say, you know, we've got nothing to do with this for, so why are we even being invited to it? That's what should have happened. Because they obviously can't give any positive feedback with regards to this. Just to break things down semantically, you guys are law enforcers. We are the lawmakers. You are the law enforcers. How is it that the police cannot have anything to do with this law? Shocking. Who do we turn to when farm dwellers need help? Now the question that I wanted to ask was, while you guys were sitting over here, was actually, in your opinion, what is your mandate in this instance? In your opinion, what are the procedures? What, in your opinion, are the procedures to assist farm dwellers that come and lay charges or lay complaints about illegal eviction? Because I would like you to specify it now today on Hansard so that we know what your role is in the future. The fact that you guys never came prepared leads me to possibly think that you haven't prioritized this bill. Maybe it flows down into your police stations where you guys are not prioritizing these kind of complaints. But I think what everybody is standing and saying over here is that you guys need to play a more prominent role in this bill and in protecting farm workers and farmers alike. I wanted to know, how do you, as SAPS, prioritize complaints like this when you've got issues like the trio crimes? You've got issues of a shortage of manpower due to RAG reports that come back. On your RAG reports, do you actually take farm dwellers into account when you work out the formulas how many SAPS members are responsible for how many people out there in the community? Do farm dwellers, I mean, do they actually register on your statistics? Because in many, many cases, you've got farm dwellers that live in former homeland areas where they would then be, the RAG report would be evident or relevant to them there. But when they're working on the farms for longer, extended periods of time, are they taken into that RAG report when you guys work out your formula? So it's all these little questions that I'm asking. That I wanted clarity on the bill, but it still comes down to what I said initially. If you guys have absolutely no a mandate to assist us in the bill, then you shouldn't have wasted taxpayers' money by coming down to the question.
Thank you,
Chair.
Because those are the issues that are happening in the farms. these people report these cases to SARS, but there's nothing in Chopo Bay, there's nothing that's happening after they reported the cases.
And Chair, sorry, if I may just add one more question, please. Sorry, and I don't want to interrupt anything. Just based on this report quickly, you guys have spoken of land invasion. Are you telling me that in Mpumalanga there's not one case of land invasion reported? Not one. Come on, Colonel. Major General Johnson.
I think what happened, Chairperson, is that the brief of the committee was misunderstood as such in the first place. The second issue is that.
Well, no, hold on, Chair. No justification is not needed. If you didn't understand the briefing, you must phone or email it back. Please, no justification, Chair.
Did not understand that we should provide or regard this as a consultative process of steps to provide the committee with inputs as to what is our roles and our responsibilities and what value can we add to the committee relating to the amendment of the Act. I think the understanding was that we should come and provide and deal with the cases that can provide information relating to cases that we are in.
Well, don't hold on again, Chair. No, Chair, I'm allowed, I'm free to raise a point of order. Chair, can you read an email that was sent to them and they will understand? Because if it says that, we'll take it from there. They're misleading us because even their political principles are not here. They're telling us they did not understand. Please, Chair, let's not be wasteful.
Can I read the content of the email? It was directed to the minister and the deputy senior minister. Having conducted public hearing on the extension of the security of Chen Amendment in the Conference of Association,
that's in court usually, they have warrant for writing for something to say to a judge, usually, like I said. And here you've got a full committee, so we're coming with drinks and drinks, but I think it to the same effect. I've seen and heard magistrates and judges raising quite a strong word to people who are supposed to read evidence and things. And I can't see how Parliament is different, except that we use political tools, the courts use legal tools. But the chair, having read that meticulously written letter, which I'm not in a position to recommend one to anyone who wrote, I think it captured my own imagination that better. Shall we just request now, I think Chair, you know it's called the trial within a trial, you to take us through who received and when did it go to who and so on, up to the point of this presentation that is ill-informed and not talking to the needs of our people and what we are seeking to do here. I don't know how many more heads may have to roll. I'm getting tougher now. Because this is just a simple thing. Well-spelled letter, very categorical, very clear, and it now warrants the disclaimer that's on page 27. Shall we request you, delegation to you, Chair? Please take us step by step. I may then advise you, before I open my constitution, that we do also charge people for perjury in terms of evidence before Parliament. We do call people under oath. I've seen it. Unfortunately, may he so rest in peace. The late MEC Gwenida had to speak under oath in a legislative environment. Had to speak under oath, and the Parliament was ready to charge him. The Parliament relative at that level. So I'm just cautioning that it can't be, like colleagues say, it can't be senior generals and major generals come to Parliament to waste time like this. It really makes some of us very, very hot under the collar. That's why there's no hope out there in the country. That's why there's no hope out there in the farms. But you are always there to go in and use to victimize people. Now here Parliament gives you a very clear correspondence. Well said, I think it's our committee secretary. I will recommend to the power of the chair that she gets a bonus. Well spelled letter. It talks to what we are doing. This response, please give us step by step since that was received. Who received it, passed it to who, and what happened every step of the way up until you said here. This is very, very dismal, ugly, cannot be in the name of any organization, not least the governing party. It's ugly. It's unacceptable.
Send the correspondence to them, let them consider what is it that they Okay.
had to do with the African bid, which we have addressed. But then there were other general questions, like the question of the call center that really worked for 3 months, so that we must have gone to the
the ones that they asked about, I mean, that's the
you know about the
what is the
one that was the